Today's Amud is Beitza Yudalad Amud Aleph. We're holding by the Mishnah on the top of Yudalad Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, and here we pick up now with yet another example of a Mulacha, which is limited even though it's a Tzarech HaYechol Nefesh. Even though it's a Tzarech HaYechol Nefesh, still we find that this Mulacha is limited on Yom Tov. And that is, says the Mishnah, Beishamei Oimrim, Tavlin Nidoichin B'madoich Shaleitz. That when it comes to crushing spices, which is the malacha of teichin, so says Beis Shammai, you have to use a shinoi, and you can't just crush the spices with the classic madoich shel even, with the stone madoich. Instead, you have to use a different type of pestle. You have to use a wooden pestle, not the stone pestle. You have to use a wooden pestle. You have to do this little bit of a shinoi. B'hamelach, and when it comes to salt, so then you have to do a big shinoi. Then bepach, then you have to either use an earthenware flask, or you have to use some sort of wooden spoon-like kli. So you have to do a larger shinoi. When it comes to other spices, you could still use the pestle. You could use the madoich, it just has to be wooded instead of stone. Yeah, when it comes to salt, you can't even use the pestle bechlal, you have to either use the pach or an etzaparur. Beis Hillel says that no tavlin yudaychin kedarkan, that other spices you could crush up normally, b'madoich shel even, even using the classic stone pestle, v'hamelach b'madoich shel eitz. But when it comes to salt, so then that's when you have to do a small shinoi, then you have to use a wooden pestle. You could still use a pestle, but you have to use a wooden one. So, says the Gemara, the Kuli Alma comes out that everybody agrees, the Kuli Alma Mias Melach Ba'i Shinoi. Everybody agrees that salt needs a Shinoi. It's a machlaikas if other spices need a Shinoi. Beishamai holds even other spices need a Shinoi. A Shinoi Zuta, a small Shinoi. Beisilu holds that other spices do not need any sort of Shinoi. But when it comes to salt, everybody agrees that there's a shinoi that's required. Beis Shammai, a large shinoi. Beis Hillel, a small shinoi. But everybody agrees that a shinoi is needed. And the question is my taima? Why is that? So says the Gemara, Rav Huna of Rav Chista, Chad Amar. One of them explained, we don't know which one said which pshat, but Rav Huna and Rav Chista gave two explanations amongst the two of them. One of them said, Kol HaKedereis Kulan Tzrichais Melach. That all kederes, when you're cooking on Yom Tov, you know you're going to need salt. There's no one that doesn't put salt into their food. So everyone's going to need salt. Ve'en kol kederes tzrichos tavlin. But apparently other spices, so you don't need it. The foods don't need other spices. So salt, you knew before Yom Tov you were going to need it. Therefore, being that you didn't take care of it before Yom Tov, you have to do it with a shinoi when you're going to crush the salt on Yom Tov. However, when it comes to other spices, being that you didn't necessarily know you were going to need it, because not all food needs other spices, so therefore you could crush it normally according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says you could even crush it normally on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai, at least a smaller shinoi. Beis Hillel, it's even mutter without any sort of shinoi. That's what one of them said. V'chad Amar, the other one said, that no, the reason for the difference between salt and other spices is because kola tavlin mefigin taimun is a similar type of explanation, that other spices, meaning everything else except for salt, so mefigin taimun, the taste goes away. If you crush it too early, if you would crush it before Yom Tov, so then when you wanted to use it on Yom Tov, it wouldn't be as sharp, it wouldn't be as strong, the flavoring of the spice. Whereas umelach eina mefiga taima. Salt, it won't get mitigate the sharpness of the salt won't go away if you would have crushed it before Yom Tov. And again, so therefore, by the salt, you should have done it before Yom Tov, being that you didn't, so you have to do it with some sort of shinoi on Yom Tov. My beinayu, what's going to be the practical nafkamina between these two explanations? Rav Huna and Rav Chista, they each gave an explanation. What's going to be the nafkamina between them? Says the Gemara, "Yikud binayu the yada my kedera bayi levashule." Let's say you know the kedera, you knew the pot, the dish that you were planning on making. You knew that other spices were necessary. So if you say that the reason why other spices we Beis Hillel didn't require a shinoi is because of the fact that, and Beis Shammai only required a small shinoi, is because of the fact you didn't know you were going to need it. In this case, you did know you were going to need it. So therefore, now you need to do it with a shinoi according to Beis Hillel. and according to Beis Shammai, with a big shinoi, because you knew you were going to need it. Whereas if you say that the reason is because the spite loses its taste, so then even if you knew you were going to need it, that doesn't change anything. Inami, another nafkamina is b'mayrika, is when it comes to saffron, which even though it's not salt, it's a different type of spice, but it also does not lose its sharpness if you would have crushed it early. So when it comes to saffron, that's going to be treated like salt if the reason is because of the spice losing its flavor. If the reason is because the spice loses its flavor, so then when it comes to saffron, it would have the din of salt. Whereas if the reason that other spices is different is because of the fact that you didn't know you were going to need it, so then saffron also, you didn't necessarily know you were going to need it, and mamelo would be treated like other spices. So those are the two cases of those are the two nafkaminas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Now here it's really kedai maybe to finally mention now what the Rishonim speak out about the heter of Eichel Nefesh. It's going to change exactly how you learn the Pshat in this Gemara. So we've had already many different examples of malachis that are Eichel Nefesh, and yet still in Yom Tov they were either completely Asr, like we had on Gimel Amud Aleph, that Kaitzer is Asr on Yom Tov. We pointed it out then, that Kaitzer and Dash also in that same Sugya, to juice the fruits, that's Asr, even though you're doing it for Eichel Nefesh, you're picking an apple off the tree, you're squeezing the fruit to have some orange juice, right? So we have Malachites that are completely Asr on Yom Tov, even though they're Litzarech Eichel Nefesh. And now here, what's the negaya to us is with the now over here with the malacha of taichin, we find also it has its limitations. It's not just automatically mutter. The Gemara says that things that you knew you were going to need before Yom Tif, or that at least you could have done it before Yom Tif without it's losing its flavor. So then you have to do it before Yom Tif. You're not allowed to do these malachis on Yom Tif, at least in its regular way. So the Rishonim, there's a big machlokes Rishonim exactly how to understand the heter of Eichel Nefesh. It's a very complicated sugya. The Ran even writes at the end when he says his pshat, the Ran writes at the end that he still really does not have this sugya clear. It's a very complicated sugya. But Lamaisa, our Gemara really seems to be a raya. This is really the raya. This is where the Rashi and the Rambam get their shita from. Rashi we're going to have later on Chaf Gimel Amud Bey, and the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, they both say that any time you could have done a malacha before Yom Tov and achieved the same qualitative result, so then you have to do it before Yom Tov. There's no heter of malachas Eichel Nefesh on something which you could have done before Yom Tov and received the same qualitative result. So they're coming from based off of this sugya. That's a Rashi and the Rambam write. And therefore, anytime, so the Rashi over there on Chav Gimel Mabez is discussing trapping, that when it comes to fish, being that you could have trapped them before Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to trap them on Yom Tov. Things that you could have done before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. The only difference between Rashi and the Rambam is that the Rambam is clear that this is just a Gzeira Derabanan. The Rambam learns this Gemara that it's an Issa Derabanan, being that you could have done it before Yom Tov, so therefore it's Asr Mi Derabanan to do that type of Malacha on Yom Tov. Rashi seems to learn that it's even Asr Mi Daraisa, that the Heter Eichel Nefesh doesn't apply to things that you could have done on before Yom Tov. The whole Heter of Eichel Nefesh was only given to things that you couldn't have done before Yom Tov, or that at least you didn't know to do before Yom Tov. That's Rashi and the Rambam. The Ran is Kaifer Bakol. The Ran says there's no such rule. The Ran says, no, nothing doing. And even if you could have done it before Yom Tov, you knew you were going to need it, still says the Ran, you still have, at least midaraisa, a Heter of Eichel Nefesh. The Ran says that which we find different examples throughout the Masechta of Malachis that are Asr on Yom Tov, even though they're Letzarech Eichel Nefesh, the Ran says that there's a common denominator between all of them. Says the Ran, they're all malachis that are typically done liyamim harbe. They're typically done in large amounts, in bulk, in order to save it for the future, like grinding spices. Typically a person doesn't just grind the spices that he needs right away for that dish. He'll grind a lot at a time and then save it. So therefore, says the Ran, that's the common denominator between all these malachis. On these types of malachis that are typically done liyamim harbe, so says the Ran, there's an issa derabanan. Being that you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov letzarechol, and these malachis are typically done in large amounts, when a person sees someone doing these types of malachis, they're going to assume that, oh, you know why he's doing that malacha? He must be preparing for next week. And therefore, Chazal asered all malachis that are typically done liyamim harbe. So now says the Ran, crushing spices is also typically done liyamim harbe. So that's why really it's aser midrabanan. However, when it comes to other spices, so the Rabbanan waived that iser, being that by other spices it would get a little bit ruined, that the taste wouldn't be as strong if you did it before Yom Tif. So therefore, the Rabbanan waived the iser de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that even though typically we aser things that are done liyamim harbe, when it comes to other spices, they said, no, go ahead, you're good to go. And when it came to salt, they said you should do it with a shinoi. That's the way, because by salt, you knew better, you knew you were going to need it, or by salt, it doesn't, the taste doesn't go away, even if you did it before Yom Tov. For either one of the two reasons the Gemara gives, says the Ran, that's just why the Rabbanan then required you to make some sort of shinoi. So that, those are the two approaches. So again, according to Rashi, it could be that because you knew to do it before Yom Tov, it's aser midaraisa. There's no heter vaichol nefesh to grind up the spices in our Mishnah, and then you have to do a shinoi, and the shinoi made it that it was mutter legamri, even though really it was aser midaraisa without the shinoi, being that you could have done it before Yom Tov, or according to the Rabbanan, according to the Rambam, aser midarabanan. The Ran learns that no, these malachas are aser midarabanan, nothing to do with the fact that you knew before Yom Tov or didn't know before Yom Tov. This the malach over here of grinding the spices is aser midarabanan because of the fact that it's typically done liyamim harbe. Though that which the Gemara is discussing, whether or not you knew to do it before Yom Tov or not, that's what decided whether or not the Rabbanan waived the Isser or not. The by salt, being that you could have done it before, you knew to do it before, so the Rabbanan kept their Isser, that you're not allowed to do, crush the spices, unless you do it with a shinoi. And by other spices, they were mekel, even though it's done liyamim harbe, they were mekel. So that's the basic machlokas rishonim in general, within the whole general klal of the heter, to do molacha, letzarech eichel nefesh, on Yom Tov, that's the basic, machlokas rishonim. There is another sheet of Taisis we mentioned when we learned the Gemara and Gimel Manal, but many Rishonim say that that's not what the Bavli holds. Anyways, the Yerushalmi says that anything from Lisha and onwards, any malacha out of the 39, from Lisha and onwards, only those malachas got a heter vaichol nefesh. Malachas before Lisha, those are usher, okay? That's what Taisa says. Not clear if the Bavli even holds of that. The main two shitas are the shitas that we just mentioned. The shita of Rashi and the Rambam, who say that that the heter is limited only to things that you didn't know to do or couldn't have done before Yom Tov. And the Ran, who says that the heter is limited to things that are not done liyamim harbe. Things that are done liyamim harbe, they have an iser derabanan to do them on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that kol hanidaychen nidaychen kedarkon vafilu melach, that anything that gets crushed, it could be crushed on Yom Tov, even salt, meaning seemingly directly, not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Likuli Alma, salt needed a shinoi. Shmuel said that no, anything, everything could be crushed regularly, even salt. Ask the Gemara, v'amit melach ba yishinoi. But we just said in our Mishnah, everybody agrees that salt needs a shinoi. So says the Gemara, Hudi Amar Ki Ay Tana, that Shmuel goes like the following Tana. And the following Tana, he says that our Mishnah is not the way it seems. The Tana we learned in Ebraisa, Amar Rabbi Meir, like Nechuku Beishami Ubeis Hillel Ala Nidaychen, Shanidaychen Kedarkon. Everybody agrees, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they both agree that if you're crushing other spices on Yom Tov, so you could add salt into the mix, even without a shinoi. At least according to Beis Hillel, you could do even without any sort of shinoi when you're crushing other spices, so you could add in salt and it gets tagged along with the other spices. The machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is whether or not you're allowed to crush salt by itself. Beis Shammai says that to crush salt on its own, so then you need to do it with a large shinoi. You either have to use this pach, the earthenware kli, or the wooden spoon. And also, litzli, you're only allowed to do enough salt that's typically used for roasting meat. Roasting doesn't require so much malicha, so much salt to get out the blood, so it's a certain smaller amount of salt. That's Beis Shammai Shita, avolay lekedera, not the amount of salt that's typically used to kasher meat that you're planning on cooking in a kedera, that when you're planning on cooking, that requires more salt. That Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do. Beis Hillel says that no, you can use anything to crush the salt. Now, Bechol Davar, Salkat Aitach, asked the Gemara, you can use anything, even something which is muksa, Ela Eimo Lichol Davar. Now, no, the Beis Hillel doesn't mean to say you can use something which is muksa, they meant to say you can do it for anything, meaning even for a kedera, presumably that means even also without a large shinoi. So Shmuel, who said that you don't need to have a shinoi when you're crushing the salt, he was going like this Tana. Amar Leir of Acha Bardo Libre, and again, this Tana presumably holds, he didn't say it directly, that you could use Chol Davar, you can't use something which is Muksa, but you don't have to do any sort of shinoi. So Shmuel was going like this Tana, that salt does not need any sort of shinoi. Amar Leir of Acha Bardo Libre, Rav Acha Bardla said to his son, and as we'll see, Rav Acha Bardla, he held like Shmuel, that salt doesn't need any sort of shinoi. However, he was machmir to do some sort of little shinoi. Even though Be'etzem, Rav Acha Bardla held like Shmuel that you don't need any shinoi for salt, he held to a little bit of a shinoi. So what did he tell his son? The eitzah he told his son was like this, kidaychas atzle atzluliye v'daych. That when you crush salt, kidaychas, when you crush salt, so atzle atzluliye v'daych. So put the pestle, put it on a little bit on its side. Don't hold it that straight up and down like you would normally hold it. Put it tilted a little bit on its side. A little bit of a shinoi, a chumra, do a little bit of a shinoi when you do it on Yom Tov. Rav Sheisha Shama Kol Bukhana, says the Gemara story that Rav Sheisha, as he one time heard the sound of a pestle, and Amar, so he commented and he said that Hai Lav Migave De Beisaihu, that sound is not coming from my house. Because again, Rav Sheisha's held like Rav Acha Bardla as well, that you need to do a little bit of a shinoi, and therefore he held that, when he heard the sound of the pestle, he said that that's not coming from his house. Says the Gemara, how did he know? Maybe the person using it was tilting it to the side, and maybe really it was coming from his house. Says the Gemara, no, deshamei dehavatzalu kolei. He heard that the sound was very clear, an indication, apparently, that the pestle was not being held on its side, it was being held regularly. Says the Gemara, v'dilma tavun havu. Okay, but maybe it wasn't salt, maybe it was other spices. But when it comes to other spices, so then you don't have to do any sort of shinoi. Says the Gemara, no, he knew it wasn't other spices because tavlin nabuche menabach kalayu. Tavlin have a louder sound when they get crushed, so he knew it was salt, he knew it wasn't being tilted. That's how Rav Sheshes was able to know for certain. He said that that's not coming from my house. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. We learned in the Braisa, Ein Eisen Tisni, Vein Kaitshin B'machteshes. The Braisa says, two halachas. First of all, you're not allowed to make tisni. Tisni is, they would crush wheat into four parts. When you would crush each wheat kernel into four parts, that was tisni. So presumably the reason why that's usher is because it's a tremendous tircha to cut it like that. So you're not allowed to make that on Yom Tif. That was typically done in a machteshes. And says the Braisa, you're also not allowed to use a machteshes. So that's the Gemara Tarti. That seems to be a stir mine ube. First you tell me you can't make tisni. Now that's mashma that you make tisni in a machteshes. So that's mashma that even when you are allowed to use a machteshes, you're just not allowed to make tisni inside of that machteshes. Then you tell me that no, you can't use a machteshes. So that sounds like you can't use a machteshes for anything. So says the Gemara Hachikamer. This is what the Braisa means to say. Matam in ice and tisni, the Bryce is explaining the reason that you can't make tisni on Yom Tif. Why can't you make tisni on Yom Tif? Because you're not allowed to use mortar, you're not allowed to use a machteshes on Yom Tif. Okay, well, says the Gemara, if that's what the Braisa means to say, so then Vilema in Kaitshim b'machteshes. Why do we have to focus on the Tisni? If there's a rule that you're not allowed to use a machteshes, so just say you can't use a machteshes on Yom Tif. Says the Gemara, no, because itani ain't kaitshim b'machteshes. If the Braisa would have just said that you can't use a mortar, that you can't be kaitish with the machteshes, so a stam machteshes is a large machteshes. So havamina, I would have thought to say that hani mili b'machteshes gedayla, that the Braisa is only asking to use a large machteshes of a b'machteshes ketana ima shaper dami. But I would have thought to say that you could use a small one. It's a shinoi, so maybe you could use a small machteshes. Kamash milan the Braisa. That no, not only can't you make tisni, but you can't use a machteshes, meaning even a machteshes ketana. Says the Gemara, so you mean to tell me that this brisa holds, you can't use the machteshes ketana on yamtiv? V'atani, but we learned in a brisa that says the opposite, that says, ein kaitshim b'machteshes gedayla, avu kaitshim b'machteshes ketana. It says, lahedya, that you are allowed to use the machteshes ketana. It's a shinoi, and therefore it's mutter, you're allowed to use the machteshes ketana. So says the Gemara Amar Abaye. Abaye says, and Rashi explains that Abaye is not coming to answer this question. He's coming to give a whole new pshat in the Braisa. Our original kasha was that the Braisa seems to be soiser itself. First it says that you're not allowed to make tisni on yamtif, which is mashma that you could use the machteshes, you just can't make it a tisni. And then it says you can't use a machteshes, mashma you can't use a machteshes at all. So Amar Abaye, ki tanya nami masnisa b'machteshes gedayla tanya. Now, when the Braisa says you can't use the machteshes, it means you can't use the machteshes gedayla. So Rashi explains that what Abai means to say is that the Braisa is telling us two completely separate halachas. One is that you cannot make tisni. It doesn't matter how you're going to make it. Machteshes gedayla, machteshes ketana. It's not about the machteshes. It's about the tircha. And therefore, you can't make tisni on yamtif, even in the machteshes ketana, because there's extra tircha involved, and therefore you're not allowed to make tisni on yamtif. Then the Braisa is saying a second halacha, that you're also not allowed to use a machteshes gedayla. You want to use a machteshes ketana, that's fine, that's a shinoi, that's fine. You still can't make tisni, but you could use a machteshes ketana. So that's how Abaye learns pshat in the Braisa. Rava Amar, Rava says, and Rava now is going to go back to the first way we understood, that it's a matam kamar, that the Braisa was explaining the reason, that the Braisa was saying that the reason why you can't make tisni is because you can't use the machteshes. And we asked that why not just say you can't use a machteshes? So the Gemara said, because then you're going to think that you could use a small machteshes, you just only can't use a large machteshes. So we asked, what's the problem with thinking that? It's taka true. We have a braisa which says that you're allowed to use a small machteshes, you just can't use a large one. So says Rava, then no, the braisa is like we said before, you can't use any sort of machteshes, even a small one. We have another braisa that says you could use a small machteshes. So says Rava Leikasha. There's no stira between the two braisas. Our braisa that we brought originally, which says you can't use a machteshes, which we're saying means you can't even use a small one. And the second braisa that we brought, which says that you can't use a big machteshes, but you could use a small one, says Rava, it's not a stira. Halan v'haluhu. The braisa which says that it's mutter, the second braisa, that's talking about, for us, the Bnei Bavel. V'haluhu, the braisa which says, the first one, the original one, that says it's aser, that's talking about those in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? Why is it that in Bavel you're allowed to use small machteshes, and in Eretz Yisrael you're not allowed to? So Rashi says, "How long once for us in Bavel the leslan avdi de mizalzli." So I wasn't sure how to read Rashi. One way it could be what Rashi means to say is that in Bavel they didn't have avadim. In Bavel, they didn't have avadim, and therefore, you could use a small machteshes, there's no concerns. However, in Eretz Yisrael, where they had avadim, so therefore there was a concern that if you allow them to use a small machteshes, so they're gonna be mezalzel, and they'll use the large machteshes, and then when they serve you the food, they're gonna say, oh yeah, we used the small one. So being that there's this chashash that they'll be mezalzel, so therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to use a small machteshes, but in Bavel, where they didn't have avadim, so in Bavel, you're allowed to use the small machteshes. The other possible way to read Rashi is that how long the less avdi de mezalzli. Not that they didn't have avadim, kama de mezalzli. It's the less one avdi de mezalzli. Maybe in Bavel, their avadim were more honest. They didn't have avadim that were mezalzli. They had avadim that were honest. And therefore, in Bavel, they could use the small machteshes, and Eretz Yisrael not. Just depends where you put the comma. I wasn't sure how to read this Rashi. But Al Kabanim, that's what Rava says. There's no stira between the two braises. The braisa that says that it's mutter to use the small one, that's talking for the Bnei Bavel. The braisa which says it's aser to use the small machteshes, that's talking for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara story that Rav Papi Ikla Lebei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi once went to visit the house of Mar Shmuel. Now Shmuel lived in Bavel, so this was in Bavel, which we said you're allowed to use a small machteshes. And Aisi lay daisa v'loy achol. Shmuel served him some daisa, and Rav Papi, he didn't eat it. Incredible. He went, he was at Shmuel's house and he didn't trust his kashrus. He didn't eat his daisa. So says the Gemara, what's the pshat in the story? V'dumah b'machteshes ketana avdua. Maybe Shmuel prepared it in a small machteshes. So why didn't Rav Papi eat it? Who cares if it's crushed up wheat? It was daisa, it was crushed up wheat, but maybe it was crushed in the machteshes ketana. So says the Gemara, no, the chazia da have a daik tfeh. Rav Papi saw that, no, it was very crushed up. That's why he refrained from eating it. Okay, well, v'dama me'etmol avdua. Maybe it was crushed before Yom Tov. So why did Rav Papi trust it and eat it? Says the Gemara, no, dechazia to have a kol of tzahare. He saw that from its coloring that it was very fresh. It had a streaking white appearance, indicating that it was just recently crushed, and therefore he knew that it was crushed on Yom Tov. Okay, and that's why he didn't eat it, because it was crushed on Yom Tov. And says the Gemara, v'bayisema, or another pshat, is that no, he didn't see that it was small pieces. It's not that he knew for sure that it was crushed with the machteshes gedayla. It's just that v'bayisema shani v'mar Shmuel diika pritzusa da'avde. It's that even though Shmuel lived in Bavel, he had avadim, or he had avadim that were pritzim, and therefore Rav Papi held that he couldn't trust the avadim of Shmuel. Not that he couldn't trust Shmuel, he held that he wasn't allowed to trust the avadim of Shmuel, and that's why he refrained from eating it.